Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding, unless there is submission. And service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadikshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. This morning, as there will be an initiation, I will speak on this verse and some topics of Guru Tattva, as Srila Prabhupada prescribed for initiation ceremonies. I can't cover all the topics because it's a very big topic. This is also suitable as the celebration of Balarama Purnima is spilling over today, as yesterday it was celebrated by most devotees by pulling Balaram along with Jagannath and Subhadra in Rath Yatra in Dublin. And Balaram is the guru principle. Balaram gives strength, spiritual strength. Who knows what the first words of Chaitanya Charitamrita are? Anyone? Anyone? Ladies? No. Vande Gurun, offering obeisances to all the gurus. Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktams, then to all the devotees of the Lord. Isham, Ishavatarakam, to the Supreme Lord, to the avatars of the Lord. Tat Prakasham Tatak Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangyakam. Krishna Chaitanya is known as all these principles as his prakash, his manifestation, as his energy. So first of all comes the gurus, and that is the first subject which is discussed by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first few chapters, they are a philosophical introduction to the subject of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Tattva. We say philosophical, it's an English word. the understanding of what is philosophy in the Western world is some various kinds of speculations, but the word as used here in this Gita verse, tattva darshana, tattva darshan. Tattva darshan means a knowledge of the various categories of existence. And tattva darshi is one who sees that. So the first subject discussed therein is the subject of the gurus who, in the very beginning, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami links this with Krishna, obviously. Well, it would seem maybe not obvious to non-devotees, but Krishna, he manifests as the guru. This is a standard understanding within all of Vedic culture that the guru is God or is as good as God, is much misunderstood by Mayavadis. So the relevant Bhagavatam verse, or a relevant Bhagavatam verse, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes in this regard, is spoken by Uddhava. It's recounted in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava speaking to Krishna. Naivo payat naivo payantya pachating kavayastavesha brahmayushapikritam riddhamuda smarantaha yontar bahistanu bhritang ashubham vidhunvan acharya chaitya vapusha swagating vyanakti. Srila Prabhupada's translation. In the translation comes the word transcendental poet, and certainly from this and many other translations we can understand that Srila Prabhupada is a transcendental poet, as his writing, although abhadavatyapi, maybe not perfect according to all rules of English grammar, is certainly very poetic and beautiful. So here's the translation of this verse by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science. That's how Srila Prabhupada translates the word kavi. Kavi means a learned person, it also means a poet. So transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science cannot fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they had the lifetime of Brahma, for you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the conditioned souls by revealing to them your devotional service and teaching them how to approach you on the path of pure love. Well, there's really a lot packed in there. Every word is rich with meaning. Here Uddhava is expressing his personal indebtedness to Krishna, who is personally acting as Uddhava's guru, giving him spiritual knowledge. Although Uddhava is well known to be the disciple of... Who said that? Brihaspati, who is the guru of... the demigods, Sura Guru. He is the guru, Brihaspati is the guru of the demigods. He is the guru of Uddhava, who is therefore expected to be highly learned. But Krishna became his spiritual guru for teaching him spiritual knowledge. So that is quite common and standard within Vedic culture, that one has an official guru, one who teaches the Vedic knowledge, or one who initiates into the as a dvija, twice born, and then one also has a spiritual guru who teaches spiritual knowledge and may give more mantras also, especially in this Kali Yuga, Pancharatrik mantras for worship. Now, the point which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami stresses very much is that the Guru is the mercy manifestation of Krishna. How do we get the mercy of Krishna? By the mercy of Guru. Krishna jodi kripa kare kono bhagyavane Guru antarjami rupe shikai apone. So this is Krishnadas Kaviraj's commentary or partial commentary on this verse. That is standard and essential understanding that Krishna manifests his mercy. Of course, Krishna manifests his mercy in many ways, but particularly in the form of the Guru who teaches spiritual knowledge. Actually, two forms. Guru is, here the word is used, Guru, externally, and internally, antaryami. Antaryami literally means one who lives inside. So he who lives within the heart also instructs. Now, many people may think, well, I'll just take direction from within my heart, but external direction is also needed. This human body is compared to a boat, which is suitable for crossing the ocean of material existence. In the modern age, boats, they have engines. So you can have an engine inside the boat, but you also need a guru or a captain to guide the boat. That also comes up in the Uddhava Gita. This Nridehamadyang Sulabang Sudurlabam Plavan Sukalpo Guru Karnadharam Mayanukulena Nabasvateritam Puman Bhavabdhim Natarit Saatmaha. Krishna tells Uddhava that this human body is like a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence, and the Guru is the capable captain for guiding the boat. My instructions in the form of the Shastras, they are the favorable winds for blowing the boat. So with all these facilities, if one fails to cross the ocean of material existence, one is simply killing himself. So there may be a good engine in the boat, but the power is there, but the guidance from is also required externally. Otherwise, everyone is getting guidance from within the heart. Not only devotees or spiritually interested people. Matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna gives knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness to everyone. But he reciprocates with everyone according to their desire and eligibility. Yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. So, from within the heart, Krishna guides, and he guides a fortunate person to a guru, and by the mercy of Krishna, one gets a guru, and by the mercy of a guru, one gets Krishna. How does one get Krishna? By instruction. Here it's specifically stated. Guru antarjami rupe shikai apane. Yeah, apane means personally. So as Srila Prabhupada mentions in one purport in this Bhagavad Gita, as it is, that if one takes instruction from bona fide guru, it is as good as taking instructions from Krishna personally, because he says the same thing, he doesn't say anything else. So Krishna manifests his mercy in the form of a guru who teaches what Krishna teaches, which might seem to be very straightforward and simple. The tattvagyan, this topic, word, tattvagyan, knowledge of the categories, of philosophy, it's a great topic. Someone who is known as a tattvagyani means a very highly learned person, because in Vedic knowledge, if one's actually to study Vedic knowledge, he has to first of all study Sanskrit grammar, and then at least one Veda, preferably two, three, or even four, and the Vedangas, and the Puranas, and the Vedanta Sutras, and the Mahabharata, and the Ramayana, and the commentaries thereon, the principal philosophies, and then he could be called a learned person. So it's seems to be more than a lifetime's work to get a hold on that. Still, in India today, there are, well, maybe as many as you can count on one hand, but there are some pundits who are highly learned like this, very, very deeply learned. The two I'm thinking of are both very old. But the essence of Vaishnav, and or the essence of Tattva Gyan, is very simple to understand. There is the Supreme, that is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are His eternal servants. We are fallen in this material world. Mamai Vangsho Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha Mana Shashtani Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We are fallen in this material world. We're struggling with material nature due to the mind. The mind's proclivity to try to enjoy this material nature. And therefore, we should stop trying to enjoy this material world and surrender to Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and go to Krishna. The basics are very easy to understand, but the mind is very complex, and the mind is attached to the self-defeating attempt to enjoy this material world. Therefore, a guru is supposed to guide one, to give the proper guidance, to give the proper understanding, because even this pure Vaishnav philosophy, even if it's a little bit tweaked for sense gratification, then you don't get the same result. What was that the other day? There was some suggestion, what I watch TV and I see Krishna in the TV programs. So I see Krishna everywhere. So sounds very high and idealistic at face value, but it's complete nonsense and it's rascaldom, and it's attempting to show that one is very sincere when actually one is very insincere. But to someone who is not very sincere, they will think, well, that's the philosophy, isn't it? Well, Krishna's everywhere. We should see Krishna in everything. So we can see Krishna in the TV also. But of course that militates against another important principle of asat sanga tyag, giving up bad association. And although one may see Krishna everywhere and in everything, still one is enjoined to go to the temple and not to the brothel. You may see Krishna everywhere, but still the devotees, they like to go to the temples. We don't expect to find them in the brothels. So, misuse of this Vaishnava philosophy, that can drag one to hell in the name of being a devotee of Krishna. So one has to hear the philosophy, as it is, it's very simple, as Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who's watching over all the proceedings here, he often said, quoting Srila Prabhupada, that Krishna consciousness is so simple you might miss it. It's so simple. Then we try to make it more complicated. Then we have to deal with all the complications of it. But really it's just the mind that's complicated. Krishna's not complicated. He's complex in as much as everything is within Krishna. But his basic attitude is that he just wants to accept everyone as his loving servant. So we go to the guru what for? Principally for knowledge. But that knowledge is the knowledge of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, this saying of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Somehow or other, it's not so very famous, but it's very important. He says, Jaha hoite Krishna bhakti shei guru hoi. From whom one gets Krishna bhakti, that person is a guru. But general understanding, of course, who gives bhakti, that is the guru, but the means of giving is by giving the knowledge of the means to attain bhakti. So guru is understood to be one who gives knowledge. That is the basic function of the guru, is to give knowledge. And of course, in this verse also, this Gita verse, pranipat, bowing down, that is also required. Pariprashna, an eagerness to attain that knowledge by asking relevant questions, all kinds of relevant questions. And seva, the desire to perform service. So all, then upadekshanti, they will initiate you. And upadekshanti te jnanam, the initiation will be there. Initiation into this knowledge, one has to have some preliminary qualification to receive that knowledge, and it's not just being able to pass some entrance examination. It's not on the simply on some platform of academic ability. In fact, one may have very little academic ability and be suitable as a disciple in the bhakti school, especially. In the bhakti school especially. Or one may be very learned and not be eligible. There has to be some initial humility. It's not just a formality. One has to be prepared to learn. One has to be prepared to serve. And then the mercy. Then comes the mercy. The mercy. Krishna sees someone is sincere and sends to a guru. Or he may see someone is insincere and send to a cheetah also. That's also quite normal and possible. So one approaches the guru for knowledge. The famous prayer, Agana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Bowing down to the guru who... by the applying the salve of knowledge on the darkened eyes, gives vision. The eyes are darkened by ignorance, non-knowledge. One doesn't know. So by giving knowledge, the guru enlightens. But of course, this knowledge, it's again, it's not ABC knowledge. It's Divya Gyan, spiritual knowledge. We sing Divya Gyan Hride Prakashito. One may learn this knowledge, but it becomes manifest, resplendent within the heart by the mercy of the Guru. So by the mercy of Krishna, one gets a Guru. By the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. By giving instruction, we find that Srila Prabhupada literally day and night gave instruction, philosophical guidance to his disciples and to the whole world. So he was an ideal acharya in that respect and in every other respect. So what knowledge do we take? Well, specifically in our sampradaya, coming from Rupa Goswami, coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invested his philosophy or his teachings, particularly in Rupa Goswami. So we pray, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadanti Kam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hidden heart's desire was manifested in this world by Srila Rupa Goswami, and therefore we pray that he will give us the shade of his lotus feet. And the gurus in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, they are representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, representatives of Rupa Goswami, a representative of all the previous acharyas, and especially we are followers of Srila Prabhupada, a towering acharya. We all are supposed to represent him, and that is our only qualification for being a guru, is to represent the previous gurus, and especially to represent Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada states here, no one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following the principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. So a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who is initiated into a bona fide parampara does convey the message of the Lord as it is, because that's, otherwise there'd be no meaning to the verse sakale neha mahata yoga nashta param evam parampara praptam imam raja shayo vidhu sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. The parampara comes down from guru to disciple, but someone at some point in mighty time messes it up. That means someone may be initiated into a bona fide parampara, but if they don't teach exactly according to the parampara, then the process becomes spoiled, just like that same example. That was one example of many ways in which the teachings of Krishna consciousness may be, the correct teaching may be taken and wrongly applied. We should see Krishna everywhere. All right, so I'm watching TV and seeing Krishna in that. So, and someone say, oh, yeah, he's a bona fide devotee, initiated devotee. And they're speaking the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but they're misapplying it. Or the philosophy itself may be twisted. For instance, to say that the guru is as good as Krishna. Yes. But how is that to be understood? Not that's to be understood with qualification. By qualification, I mean here that that statement has to be qualified. It has to be explained to be understood. I'll come back to that a little later, because it's not that the guru is in all respects the same as Krishna, by no means, but in certain very important respects, and therefore the guru is known to be as good as God. And also from the writings of the six Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami, he refers to Guru Varam Mukunda Prishta. Na dharmam na dharmam shruti ganani ruktam kila kuru vraje radha krishna prajura paricharyami hatanu shachi sunam nandishwarapati sutatve guru varang mukunda prishtatve smaraparam majasram nanu manaha. So this is an instruction to his own mind. He's mana shiksha, giving instruction to the mind. He's written this down for the benefit of all of us. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami's mind is completely absorbed in service to Radha and Krishna, but he's given us this instruction to the mind for our benefit. He's praying to the mind, O mind, give up all connection with dharma and adharma. That means on the material platform. And simply serve Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Prachura paricharya. Prachura means extensive. And paricharya means serving in all kinds of ways. So serving in all kinds of ways with full intensity. Know that. With the with the body, yes, physical service. Know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Shachi, is Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And always remember, Smara Paramajasram, that Guru Varam, the best of gurus, or the is Mukunda Preshta, very dear to Mukunda. So these are points that he's enjoying. Raghunath Das is enjoining the mind to always remember. So how is the guru dear to Krishna? Dear to Krishna and Krishna himself. These are very, very, very high descriptions. Very, very high. We hear of giants walking the earth. In former times, there were men who are so tall, they're just like great giants, and when they walk, the earth shakes. But a spiritual giant is so much more. Srila Prabhupada, almost everyone who heard about Srila Prabhupada before they saw him, presumed that he had a very big body, because we'd hear his lectures, how he's speaking very strongly, very authoritatively, and generally that's, we associate a big personality with a big body. So it was surprising to see Srila Prabhupada from the external vision to have a small body. I remember I first saw Srila Prabhupada coming down the stairs at Bhaktivedanta Manor next to Brahmananda, who's tall and very big-bodied. Big B, they used to call him. And Harikesh, who's also very tall. And Srila Prabhupada looked very short. But at the same time, it was seen that those two and everyone else around him was in total awe of him. He commanded such a presence. So, as he taught us, in the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastraya Ruktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadbhi Kintu Prabho Yaf Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Shri Charanarvindam. We offer respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of the Guru, who has the quality of being directly Krishna. He has the quality of being directly Krishna by that is the conclusion of all the scriptures and all the sadhus. But how is that? But he's also to be known as very dear to Krishna. He attains the Krishna, Krishnishnish, or Krishna, the quality of being Krishna by being very dear to Krishna. How does he become dear to Krishna? Well, those gurus who are internally serving Krishna in the Leela, Srila Prabhupada, commenting on the verse Nikunja, which comes before this, Nikunja yuno ratikeli siddhai ya libhi, what's the next line? Okay. Ya libhi, yuktir apikshaniya. Tatrati dakshyat ativalabhasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. So commenting on this verse that female devotee gopis in Vrindavan make desirable arrangements for Radha and Krishna in the highest perfectional stage of male-female attraction within the kunjas of Vrindavan. He's very expert in doing so, and very very dear to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said that this is not all gurus. Not all. There are others also. But it becomes very dear to Krishna. So very dear in that sense. And also one who preaches this message of Krishna consciousness and tries to give that to other, becomes dear to Krishna by doing that. So The guru is always supposed to be considered in this way. It's mind-boggling, staggering, but it's required. And that is maybe very difficult for people raised in the modern democratic ethos with centuries of rebellion against divine authority. The development of democracy in the Western world has developed as a gradual rejection of the divine, because authority, even in the Western world, with the Christian world, where there's very little clear understanding of who is God, but still it was understood the king is the representative of God. That was the understanding all over the world. So when Oliver Cromwell chopped off the head of King Charles the something or other, that was shocking, because there's even a word for that, regicide, which means killing the king. Because it's considered that even though he might otherwise have deserved it, you can't kill a king. A king is the representative of God. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Naranam Chandaradhipam, I am represented among men as the king. So the democracy is a system. It's all come up with humanism, rejection of church authority. And in the modern age, the idea is that, well, everyone's equal, we're all inherently equal, and there's no divine authority. There may be some authority, but that's elected authority, and we can drag that down also. And it's come to the extent that even children, it's not expected or considered desirable even that the parents will discipline and train the children. It's become so bizarre. But in cultures which are less degraded, or in modern English, backward, then it's understood that authority means above, and that ultimately comes from the supreme above. And the term guru particularly refers to one who gives spiritual knowledge, but it also means any elder. It means the husband or the mother, father of course also, any elderly person, a brahmana, a king. These are all considered gurus. Or in fact, anyone who teaches one, he can be considered a guru if he gives good knowledge. Even Shankaracharya respected the apparent chandala who spoke spiritual knowledge to Shankara, who rebuked Shankara for treating him like a chandala and saying, "Well, you're not seeing the Atma." So Shankara accepted that. So this concept of seeing God everywhere is better applied by seeing God manifest as the gurus, the superiors, those who give knowledge and guidance, those who are our well-wishers, rather than trying to see in the TV, which is full of lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, and everything else inauspicious. So another verse, Shuddha Bhakta, Shri Guru, Shri Shivasya cha Bhagavata saha, Abheda Drishtim tat Priyatamat Venaiva Manyante. Actually, it's not a verse, it's prose. It's from the, which Sandarbha? Bhakti Sandarbha? Somewhere. Jiva Goswami's writing. Bhakti Sandarbha, yes. He states that when the scriptures describe the Guru and Shiva as being non-different from Krishna, then pure devotees understand this to mean that they are non-different in the sense of their being very dear, not that they are non-different in all respects. So this is a very important point to understand. Guru, of course, it's not just some position. You climb up the ISKCON ladder, you come in as a new bhakta, you don't know how to put on tilak, then you get a little older, and then you can take sannyas, and then you can become a guru, and you made it to the top. But that is not the understanding. That's not the proper understanding. Guru means one who instructs so that one's disciple can become free from birth and death. It's a very grave responsibility. Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivang na tatsya na patischa sasya na mochayed, ya samupeta mrityo. Here is stated, the guru, a relative, or a close associate, father, mother, husband, or taking respect from others, one should not do unless one can deliver them from birth and death. So actually all these persons are gurus. The guru is to deliver the disciple from birth and death. So all these, father, the mother, relative, anyone who you take respect from, we have to reciprocate by giving them not simply a pat on the head, that you may also do, but give them the knowledge by which they can become free from birth and death, which is, again, we hear a lot these days about bridge preaching, but unless it comes to the point of informing people, and pretty soon also, that we are suffering in this ocean of material existence, we have to get free from birth and death, then it's missing the point. It's not doing the proper job. We're interacting with others and not fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Jare dekho tare koha Krishna upadish. Whoever we meet, we should instruct them in the science of Krishna. So simply to make friends, the people think, well, Hare Krishna are nice people because they teach us how to stand on our head. Well, it's nice that they think we're nice, but it's better that they know why we are nice. What the niceness consists of. The niceness consists of telling them that whatever you think is nice is not at all nice. Whatever you are attracted to is simply dragging you to hell. You have to become attracted to Krishna. We may not say it exactly like that on the first meeting, but that point has to be come to, has to be reached. From Chaitanya Mongol. You know, there's so many quotes from so many different places showing it's not. This is a major topic to be understood very clearly. Shei shei param bandhu shei pita mata Shri Krishna charne jay prema bhakti data shakal janme pita mata shabe pai Krishna guru nahi mile bhaja hohi ai. So mother and father in Indian culture up to the present time. Mother and father are much respected. It used to be like that in Ireland until recently. Probably in Poland also, up to your generation. Now it's probably gone because the child doesn't know who the father is. And the mother, the Prabhupada gives the example, the mother has to tell you, but in many cases the mother might not be able to tell you either. As in the case of, well, that's also there in the Upanishads, that Jabali, his mother couldn't tell who his father is. So, who is our real father and mother? Who is our real best friend who gives prema bhakti, loving devotional service, at the lotus feet of Krishna? And in every birth, I used to quote this time and time again in Bangladesh. People are so much attached to their fathers and mothers, which in one sense is not a bad thing, but ultimately we have to become attached to Krishna. And if the father and mother become obstacles in that due to their misunderstanding or whatever, then they're not acting as a proper father and mother. So, in every birth one gets a father and mother. Well, there may be some biological forms that don't, but mostly dogs, cats, horses, they all have a father and a mother. But a guru who can teach us about Krishna, and we don't get Krishna and guru in every birth. So when we do, we should worship with all our heart Krishna and guru. So this is Vaishnav philosophy. This is Vaishnav culture. It's very difficult for people in the West to accept this, but unless we accept it, we don't get Krishna consciousness. It's a science. We have to follow the process. There may be some aspect of the that we don't like, but then we miss the whole thing. We may say, "Well, it's been misapplied." Yes, it's the guru principle is quite possible to misapply, but then you just can't throw it out. Now in this verse, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tattva darshanaha. One who is a jnani and one who sees the truth is fit to be bowed down to ask questions from, to take initiation from. So, and knowledge is being stressed. However, Bhagavatam also states, Shabda Brahmani Nishnato na Nishnayat Pareyadi, Shamastasya Shamafalo Hyadhinum Iva Rakshataha. Yeah, because in the Bhagavatam it's stated that Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jignyasu Shaya Uttamam. Shabde Pareta Nishnatam Brahmanyu Pashamashrayam. One should approach a guru. Take shelter. The guru's two main qualifications are given is that he's as if bathed in the Vedic knowledge. He's immersed in Vedic knowledge, especially in the spiritual portions of that knowledge, and has fully taken shelter of the Supreme Truth. But then that again is qualified that Shabda Brahmani Nishnato. One may be absorbed in the Vedic sounds, but na nishnayat pare, he may, but not in the shabde pare, not in the spiritual understanding. He can be veda vada rata, one who is simply attached to the ritualistic formulaic statements of the Vedas. So someone who becomes learned in Vedic knowledge but doesn't find Krishna, we can say that shrama eva hi kevalam, the result, shramas, here it's stated, shramas tasya shrama phala, the result of his labor in studying this Vedic scriptures is his labor. That's all. It's like keeping a cow that has no calf, no milk. So, important point. It's not just scholarship, but one has to know the truth, and truth is Krishna. As stated in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Mahakula prasuto pi sarva yagyeshu dikshitaha sahasra shakha dhyaicha naguru syad avaishnavaha. So if one is born in a very high-class Brahmin family, is initiated into performing all different kinds of Vedic sacrifices, has studied 1,000 branches of Vedic knowledge. There are only 2 branches of Vedic knowledge still present in the world at the present time. But if one was initiated into a thousand of them and was so learned, still, if one is not a Vaishnava, one is not qualified to be a guru, because guru means who gives knowledge of the truth, and the truth is Krishna, loving service to Krishna. Any questions about this, please? It's just touching some aspects of the vast subject of Guru Tattva, but it's a very big subject. Any questions? No questions. All right. Anyone else? Yes, please. How does one know that the realizations one are getting is right? Well, there are checks and balances. Guru, sadhu, shastra. Guru means the guru has to teach according to sadhu and shastra. Shastra means the Vedic knowledge. Sadhu means as received in disciplic succession. So that is the check and balance system. One's own sincerity is there also. Antaryami, that's the Krishna within the heart. Guru antarjami rupe shikai apane. One may be misled also, as the saying goes, one who appoints himself as his own guru has a fool as a disciple. If you think, well, I'm my own guru, then your disciple is a fool. But we find in the Vedic literature also that the basic principle of serving the guru, in its basic principle by which Krishna becomes pleased. There are so many narrations. Ramanuja Sampradaya especially. It's very sweet to hear the stories of Ramanuja. Even he defied his mantra guru. Not defied, but then appeared to defy. And there are so many stories. This Upamanyu in Mahabharata, he was forbidden by his guru to eat in various ways. He was forbidden, and then he ended up eating some grass which made him go blind, and he ultimately got the guru's mercy because he stuck so rigidly to the his guru said, well, you shouldn't take without being told to eat. So he was just drinking the milk coming directly from the cows. Then he said, no, you shouldn't take that. Then he took the foam from the cows. It's not milk, it's foam. And in this way he went on. Ultimately got the mercy of his guru by adhering to that very difficult order, even though he was just a young boy. And there are so many narrations in Shastra. Even the story of Shankara and his disciples, in the matter of guru-disciple relationship, it's exemplary. Mm. Yeah, anything else? Loss of faith, this historical reality of in much of ISKCON at the present time, with for what appear to be very good reasons. It may not be that many will speak as I've spoken this morning, because considering the history, it might sound almost hypocritical, but it is actually the philosophy that we have received through parampara. It is the philosophy of Shastra, and even though it may have been seriously misapplied, we can't throw out the philosophy because it's been misused. Rather, we should speak the right philosophy and live it also. That's the only antidote. There's no other antidote.
That seemingly maybe not lost the faith in Prabhupada, but in
Yeah, but it's not. It's too specific to. And then we get into a whole thing like that. So the Shakti of Prabhupada is gone. Then how is it that the books are still making devotees? So, but anyway, I don't want to get into this. We could discuss so many specific things, and we could be here till for another year just discussing all these things. But what's the use? Well, there may be some use, but I'm not going to discuss it right now. I'm talking general philosophy, not any. If you want to get into specifics, this one did this, this one said that, he did that wrong, and you go on and on and on and on. In the meantime, death comes around and you get born again. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't be aware of various problems within our movement and of misapplication of these principles. But we hear so much about the misapplication, we hardly hear anything about the actual real application. So, to counteract that, we should also speak the real philosophy as it is.
What do you see the real reason for that?
Real reason. The real reason for what?
For losing faith.
Losing faith? Losing faith in what? Losing faith in authority. Well, very simply, the faith has been lost in authority because authority has in many cases been misapplied, misused. It's a simple thing to understand. It's not so difficult.
So, after some time, one would begin to lose faith, seeing the mistakes of others.
Seeing the mistakes of others, one may lose faith. But then, if we lose faith, ashadadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mangni vartante mrityu sangsara vartmani. Do you know the translation of this verse?
No,
you don't know it. Well, it would be a good. Those who spend so much time finding out about all the things going wrong in our society, it would be a good idea if they spend at least as much time studying Bhagavad Gita. And this is an important verse, in which Krishna states that people who don't have faith, who don't remain rigid on this path, they don't attain me, Krishna says, but they return to repeated birth and death. So it might seem very logical to lose faith, but the result is we lose our chance to go back to Godhead also. So we should find where to place our faith. It may be easier to find out where not to place our faith than where to place our faith. But then Krishna, he states that if we lose faith altogether, then we lose Krishna consciousness altogether. So, ādo śraddhā. You know this one? On the path to praying, the first step is faith. Faith doesn't mean blind faith, but it is a necessary factor. You may have faith in the philosophy and not faith in the person. The person. The person. Well, find out a person or people who live the philosophy. That's all. Yes, please. Yeah, I didn't touch much on the duty of the disciple, which is actually the subject of the verse from Bhagavad Gita that we read, but as I said, can't cover it all in one class. Yes, please.
It's also, I was listening to one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures on Bhagavad Gita, and he was talking about actually hearing Krishna within the heart. He was saying that when one becomes sufficiently purified, they can actually talk with Krishna. Wondering, like, what is our
Our what? Sorry?
Mm. Like we chant the holy name, but is there also consciousness?
This is our own endeavor and mercy, the path of acts and the path of faith in Christian theological discourse. Both things are there. Yes, this verse we read there. Krishna jodi kripa kare kono bhagyavane Antajami Guru Rupe Shikai Apane. Krishna gives to someone who is fortunate, he manifests as the Guru, and as the Guru externally and the Super Soul internally, he personally instructs. So by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. So the mercy is the instruction that helps to bring us closer to Krishna. The mercy is the instruction by which the consciousness becomes pure. What is the instruction? Principally in hearing and chanting about, remembering and serving Krishna. And as we do that, the consciousness becomes purified and we become more open to receive that mercy. You can give $1 million to a baby and they'll rip up, or €1 million or pounds or they'll rip up all the notes. They don't know how to utilize it. As they become older, they can be trained to become more responsible. There's also Jesus told that very, very instructive story of the talents. Do you all know that, coming from a Christian background? You don't come from a Christian background? The story of the talents, who knows that? Something I remember from school. It's a good story, right? You don't know that? Weren't raised as a good Catholic or Protestant? Let's not get into that. I'll tell it quickly. There was a man who owned a big estate with so many servants, and he went away for a long journey, maybe for 1 year or something. And three servants. And he gave to them one talent. Talent. Maybe the English word talent has come from this, because it means some measure of gold. And he gave to another servant 10 talents. I can't remember exactly what it was. And to another servant 20 talents. And he said, look after it carefully, and then when I come back, give it to me. So when he came back after a year or whatever, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly, but the gist of the story is such that the one who was given 20 talents, when the master came, he said, okay, give me the money, and he gave him 40 talents because he'd invested the money in business and got more. So he's very pleased with him. Same with the one who gave 10 talents to, that he gave him 20 because he... And the one who had given only one talent, he said, here's your one talent back, I buried it, here it is. And he said, you nonsense rascal. He should have done... He didn't tell him to, but he should have understood to have utilized what he got to do more service. So we have to make our endeavor also to attract Krishna's mercy. In the Damodar story, that the rope was always two fingers too short to tie up Krishna. Yashoda tried. So Jiva Goswami comments that those two finger measures, that means Krishna's mercy and our own endeavor, both are required. Ultimately, it's all Krishna's mercy. But we have to take hold of that mercy also. We have to show that we really want that mercy, we have to attract that mercy and become eligible to get it. Otherwise, it becomes this shaktipat. The idea, you just touch someone and they become self-realized. This is folk stories. This is nothing to do with real spiritual life. Shakti part is the right word. So we have to do our bit also. But at the same time, we shouldn't think, well, I've done so much. I've been chanting 64 rounds and just eating one chapati every day for the last 15 years, and so here I come, open the gates of Vaikuntha, have a brass band ready for me. Doesn't work like that. The manifestation of mercy is that one thinks oneself totally unqualified. That is the qualification. Big, big topics we're discussing. So anything else? Yeah. Grihini is precise term. Grihini, you are female, female body.
I'm saying, because my question is, you know, you were mentioning how nowadays, you know, children don't follow authorities, and, you know, people don't follow authorities anymore.
Children don't follow authority, and even if you try to train them to follow authority, you might be locked up by the authorities. It's such a bad world. Then?
So it's just becoming more and more difficult because society is going one way and you're trying
to... That's really true. Society is going one way and we're trying to go the other. It's really insane. It's really tough, yeah.
Just, you know, they're just affected by everything around. You can't exactly put them in a bubble. So
it's very, very tough. In India, there's a law passed called the Right to Education, which means that every child has the right to education, which means you have to send them to school, although it's not fully enforced. They're making all these laws which they can't enforce, but gradually they're trying to enforce them. And at the same time, we're trying to establish Gurukul, and it's a big headache for us. And we're thinking, where can we go? Maybe we have to leave India, but then where can you go? Because this humanism has got its tentacles everywhere. Where can you go? And we're thinking maybe to go to Bangladesh, a Muslim-dominated country, where, unless they understand, there's one possibility. We were thinking of going to Sri Lanka, but they're more into it than in India. Although they have more appreciation of religion than in India. But it's really a problem. The society's going full steam in the opposite direction. Islamism, as it's called, is largely a protest against this, that they don't want to have Western culture forced on them. They want to have the manner in which they undertake their protest might not be the most laudable. Then again, you may say, well, what else do you do? Because unless you literally kick it out by force, then they'll forcibly wash over you. So it's a very, very difficult... I don't have the answer. It's a very, very difficult question, what to do. There's no clear answer. The whole society is almost literally going to hell. And in the meantime, we're trying to uphold a different standard, just like that. Just for disciplining your children, you could have your children taken away from you, so they can be raised. Maybe they'll be sent to another family, two lesbians or something like that, to raise the child instead. It's just horrible. Well, what do we have to spread Krishna consciousness quickly? It's not just meant for us discussing here. We're fixated on our own little problems here, and but meantime, you know, the whole of the world is going to hell, and we. So, should be program for the broader vision. Okay, little problems here. We should attempt to solve them definitely, but we should see the whole world is suffering from lack of Krishna consciousness, and we have to do whatever is required to bring people into Krishna consciousness. That's another answer. That's another approach. Your loss of faith in authority. For okay. It's understandable. But at the same time, the whole world is going to hell. So I may think of my own self that, well, I can't put my faith, but at least we can try and work with others who are trying to do something to help fulfill Prabhupada's mission. In this regard, there is another ancient story, the story of Apa Stamba. Apa means water, and Stamba means solid or fixed. So there was one rishi going through the forest, as rishis generally do. They live in forests. Forests used to cover most of the earth's surface. And he saw a brahmana there who had made all the arrangements for shrad, which means for ceremony, for offering or performing rituals for the benefit of his departed ancestors. And brahmana had made all arrangements, but he was looking miserable. So this rishi who was walking through the forest said, well, obviously you've made people come into the forest to find the rishis who live in the forest, and they invite them to come and eat. That's a major part of the shrad ceremony, is you feed qualified brahmanas or rishis, and then by their blessings your departed ancestors, they get free from degradation. So this rishi, so he said, well, you've made all the arrangements, but you're looking so miserable. Why? And this man said, well, I made all the arrangements, but you know, nowadays it's difficult. You can't find a real rishi who's following everything. So what's the use of this whole ceremony? And he picked up the water pot and started to pour out the water, because you have to have water so they can wash their hands and wash their plates. So when you pour water, it's not like nowadays you turn on the tap or you bring a jerry can. It's a big thing to bring water from the water source. So he started pouring out the water. And the rishis, he gave an instruction, stop. And the water stopped in midair. That's why he's called Apa Stamba, made the water stop. So he showed, well, at least there's one rishi who's got some power. And he told the man that you go and find the requisite number of rishis. There are plenty of rishis. They may not be perfect, but as long as they're doing the basic things that they're supposed to be doing, you call them and you do the rituals. You don't give up the rituals because you can't find someone who's perfect in all respects. But you respect the Vedic process. Dharmam rakshati rakshitaha, as said in Manu. One who follows dharma protects dharma, and dharma protects him. So you might not find super 1008 Paramahamsa Mahabhagavat who's got prema is emanating from every pore of his body, but find someone who's following at least. That's how that's the minimum qualification in parampara. And then you can't find anyone who's up to the topmost super perfect level, but by not taking any guidance or following or remaining aloof, what benefit is that to you or anyone else? How much? Zero. Or maybe less, because then others see and then they also become discouraged. Hare Krishna. So, now I have to give initiation quite soon on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. So I pray to all of you to help me. I'm trying to follow, taking a position much bigger than I'm suitable for. But that's the order of Srila Prabhupada, to do that. So if we are to do it, we should do it to the best of our ability. And we request the help of all the Vaishnavas in doing so. So now you're going to speak on the 10 offenses to be avoided. And I'll come back after that.